You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. First and foremost, let's give love to our title sponsor. That's Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. They are dedicated to your recovery with 16 Central Florida pain clinics and physical therapy locations. Hess Spinal Centers, they're devoted to helping you in the path to pain recovery. It's a stressful time when you're going through an accident. You don't know what to do. The people at Hess, they treat you like $1 million, and they know what they're doing because they've been through it, obviously. 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. 1-800-618-HESS. We also have another sponsor coming on board next week, Blue Chew, which is the chewable male enhancement. So we'll have fun trying out that product this week. I have some in route, so wish me luck with that. So this is In the Trenches. We're talking football. A lot of things happening in the offseason. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. One of the main stories last week was the NFL coming out and voicing their opinion on the anthem and having changing the rules a little bit, so to speak. I guess the anthem, you must stand if you're on the field, and if you don't stand, you have to go in the locker room. I don't know who this benefits. It's a money thing. I understand that. When you see African-Americans kneeling on the field, there's a lot of big money don't want to see that. Now, it's not about kneeling. It's about what you're representing. So if they're in the locker room, they're not going to kneel. They're going to stand. Nobody's watching them. Doesn't make any sense to me. And when Colin Kaepernick knelt the first time, and a lot of people don't like the fact that he knelt. That's fine. You don't have to like everything. But just because you don't like it doesn't mean he has the same opinion. And it's lawful. That's the most important word to me. If I'm doing something that's lawful, I don't give a crap if you like it or not. And he did something that was within the laws. And the ironic part, or maybe the disgusting part, is that you have a black athlete who's kneeling on the field because of inequality, because of oppression of black people, and 32 white billionaires are going to make him stand, whether it's lawful, unlawful, or not. How is that helping the situation? Isn't that just perpetuating what he's trying to get across? And this is not going to turn out well. I'm telling you, the athletes are not going to, they're not going to take it. It's going to turn out poorly. I wouldn't be shocked if there's some kind of a walkout or something crazy. So I'm hoping. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But the other ridiculous part of this whole anthem thing to me is, if you really think about it, when is the anthem played? In what situations is the anthem played? The only consistent situation is sporting events. That's it. If I'm at a bar and the anthem is being played, everybody's talking, everybody has their hats on, everybody's drinking, everybody's sitting. So really, athletes are the only ones judged whether they stand or not. I mean, if somebody doesn't stand in the stands, are you going to comment on them? If I'm in the stands and somebody's sitting down for the national anthem, they have every right to sit down. Nobody could tell them they have to stand. That's not American. But they're telling the football player he has to stand. So, I mean, I just have I have a lot of issues with it. And it's not going to go over well. I don't see it going over well. I've said many times, I would never kneel for the anthem. I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's not an American thing, it's just, I just don't want to do it. I love the anthem. Got me hyped up. After the anthem, I was ready to go. But I am all for your opinion and your right not to stand. I was talking to a dozen military members yesterday, and literally a dozen. Elmer is my hangout, and it's right by the base. So most people there are military. And we had this discussion, and not one of them, not white, black, and they all said he has the right to kneel. So who are you to say that he can't? That's the part where I don't understand. So that anthem thing, I think it's going to end up blowing up in somebody's face, and we'll see what happens. Now, another thing that the NFL is really full of shit about, and it pertains to me somewhat. If you guys got a chance to see it, unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, but Real Sports came out, and I guess they had a story on Scott Bradley, a former Buccaneer, fantastic football player, badass. I mean, he was a tough football player, man, period. And you remember Scott Bradley for big hits, being in the community afterwards. He had a radio show for quite a while later on, sports show that I've been on. I've had Scott on my show. Good with Scott. I've known Scott a long time. I heard he's going through some tough times. And tough times not meaning I'm having headaches. We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia, okay? So we have this hard-hitting 60-year-old safety who has Alzheimer's and dementia. And he applied for the NFL concussion suit and got denied. I went there, and I went through the whole cognitive testing myself day after day, 6 hours of cognitive testing. I didn't do it because I think that I have dementia. I did it because I need a measurement. And if 10 years from now I feel like I'm having issues, you have to have something to measure up with. So it's something I had to do. But the fact that Scott Bradley, who has Alzheimer's and dementia, did not get any money from the NFL is disgusting. And I had Chidi Ahanotu on my show yesterday at 102.5 The Bone, Ian Beckles show, every Sunday 11 to 1. And he is going through a tough time himself. He was on the podcast not too long ago, talking about he has episodes of darkness. And when he explains it, it's hard to, he even says it's hard to explain. Things get dark. And to see the NFL not give Scott Bradley what he's due, the NFL still hasn't even admitted that concussions are bad for you later on in your life. And Chidi Ahanotu said something yesterday that I'm 100% on his side about. For some reason, fans don't give a shit. Where is the fans being pissed off that these, I don't want to use the word warrior because I don't really like to use that word, but these guys were out there, were fighting for you guys in the orange, in the pewter. The guys who are fighting for you guys, nobody cares that these billionaires are screwing these guys. I never hear any fans complaining. And you see stories about these former players and they're so sad. Nobody's helping. For the NFL, who makes umpteens of billions of dollars every year forever, to watch these studies and watch these shows and not do anything about it is gross. Seriously, if the Glazers themselves don't go help Scott Bradley, they're wrong. I'm sorry. Scott Bradley needs help. He needs help. And then they're going to say, well, he knew what he was getting into. Stop saying that. Nobody knows what they're getting into. First of all, the NFL hid it. And this is something else that Chidi said yesterday, which I never thought about it, but I agree with it. A lot of people have sympathy for military people who are going through PTSD, but this is not much different. And why is that? Because they made a lot of money? Is that what it is? Because football players make a lot of money? Because it doesn't seem like anybody gives a crap. So we got to keep our eye on what's going to go on with Scott Bradley. It's sad. Like I said, I went through the whole cognitive testing myself. I didn't think I was a candidate, to be honest with you. This is something I had to do. And I've taken that test 3 times now, and I could probably give it to you and give you the answers. It's pretty darn elementary. And I've asked the people that do the testing, do a lot of players fail? And they're like some of the questions are, what state are you in? And some players don't know. Some of the questions are, what floor did you get off on? And they don't know. So that's a scary situation. But concussions is a scary, scary thing. And something that can't be measured while you're alive. So there's no solution to this. But the NFL, they're not coming off of it, man. They are not coming off of that money. And they keep on talking about how we have allotted money prepared for this players, but they ain't giving players jack. They really aren't. So, I mean, that's how disgusting it is. And people are going to go out, they're going to watch every Sunday, and they're going to watch players on the field get concussed and get put back on the field, and they'll be playing next week, and nobody's going to give a shit. And I think that's gross. I'll be honest with you. The whole thing is gross. So the Buccaneers got Vita V signed. He has his full contract guaranteed. I don't think I've ever seen that before. It's all good. I mean, you know, there's not too many Ryan Leafs out there, or Keith McCann's name, who didn't play a whole lot of good football. Now, Vita V is going to play here for 4 years, and it doesn't hurt anything to guarantee the whole contract, but it's not a bad situation, that's for sure. So he signed his contract, he's linked in, and now we go. If you look at this team on paper, I hate saying that. I really do. Because the year after the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, on paper, I think they were one of the best teams the Bucs have ever had, and they didn't make the playoffs. So paper doesn't play. It really doesn't. But on paper, this team, on paper, is probably the most talented Buccaneer team you've maybe ever had. And that's before I've seen the offensive line come together and all those kind of things like that. There's a lot of things that have to happen, obviously, for them to be great. So I'm just kind of a leery optimistic this year, because I'm not gassing them up. I gassed them up last year, and it made me look bad. So I'm not doing it again. They got to prove to me, and they got to, first of all, prove to me they can withstand those first three games they got to play, because those are doozies. Now, for anybody who wants to email me, IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com, if you would like to ask me any football questions. And I had a couple questions from a couple listeners, which I appreciate. Alex Hodo basically asked me, and I've never heard this question before, and made me think a little bit. What's the most valuable and the least valuable positions in football? I think it would vary with systems. Everybody runs different systems. I mean, if I said on a defense, what's the least valuable player on a defense, it would be a different question or an answer for a 4-3 defense or a 3-4 defense. We don't want to get that technical. But I thought about it. So offensively, to me, the most valuable is quarterback. I don't know how anybody in their right mind could debate that one. And ironically, least valuable would be guard for me. And I'm saying that because you can't switch to center. I tried. I'm a guard. I couldn't switch to center, and I can't play tackle. But tackles could move to guard, and centers could move to guard. So that's my mentality there. Listen, I was a guard. I thought, you can be valuable, but interchangeable. So I would say quarterback's the most valuable on offense, guard the least valuable on defense. To me, the most valuable has to be the middle linebacker. I mean, it's obviously you need some good football players up front, but the middle linebacker is a quarterback. He's making the calls. He's in the huddle. He's the quarterback. So he has to be the most important or most valuable on defense, and the least important, and I'm speaking Buccaneers, it's the strong side linebacker. You just don't hear a lot about the strong side linebacker, especially with the 4-3. We've always talked about the middle linebacker, whether it's Hardy Nickerson or Shelton Quarles or Quan Alexander, who's as good as those previous two. And the weak side linebacker has been Derek Brooks, Levante David, and there's been some good names throughout the year. Strong side linebacker, they're kind of interchangeable. Not trying to dog anybody out and make anybody less valuable, but that's just my opinion. Now, I had another email from David Angston, wants to talk about Vernon Hargreaves III. Now, we've all saw the video of him smoking weed, and it's not about smoking weed. It's about being an idiot, okay? It's not about you smoking weed. Everybody knows they are. I mean, right now as we speak, there's a bunch of NFL players smoking weed. I'm letting you know that, all right? Just don't let nobody videotape you, please. I mean, that's crazy. So you got to think about maybe his maturity and intelligence as well. That's just pretty damn stupid. But the Buccaneers went out and they drafted two cornerbacks in the second round. And, that means that obviously they don't know about the future of Vernon Hargreaves, but it doesn't mean he's done. Listen, you can't have too many cornerbacks. That's a fact. And, this basically the email was saying, do I think he's a bust? It's talking about his immaturity. Rondé Barber, I guess, said that Vernon Hargraves is the third best talent at cornerbacks that the Bucs have ever had. And ironically, he said behind Tlaib and Donnie Abraham. I'm surprised Rondé didn't put himself in that mix, but I would have to agree with him. Now, Vernon Hargraves, if you watched him, has struggled in his early career here. He struggled. Now, you got to have to understand that Rondé Barber and Aqib Tlaib and Donnie Abraham had a hell of pass rushes in front of them. They all did. And that leads to success for a cornerback. That's probably the most important thing for a cornerback is a pass rush. So it's hard to evaluate a corner without a pass rush. Donnie Abraham, it came out of his mouth. I remember he came back from the Jets, and he looked at me and goes, man, it's hard to play without a pass rush. It's like, because he's been had the benefit of that his whole career. Now, Vernon Hargraves, I'm not apologizing for him because there's times where Vernon Hargraves looked just god-awful. I remember a couple games where I'm seeing him turn the wrong way on a route, and I mean, you can't play football that way. Those are rookie-type mistakes. So he has to work on his footwork, and he has to work on, you know, being a little bit more mature as well, because he hasn't really shown his maturity, and he definitely hasn't lived up to his draft status at that this point. That's for sure. Now, looking around the league, Dez Bryant and Adrian Peterson are still out there, which is, I'm not shocked. I don't think either one of them has a whole lot left. Adrian Peterson last year lit us up and didn't do anything the rest of the year. And Dez Bryant, I think, is just not talented enough at this moment for anybody to deal with his bullshit. You know, it's just, you don't want that guy when he's not getting the ball. And it happens to a lot of receivers who are great, and Dez Bryant was great. Borderline Hall of Fame kid. He was great, and, you know, what happens when your skills start diminishing, your brain still thinks you're great. So his mentality sometimes is counterproductive to a football team. And Adrian Peterson, I just think it's time. It's time. I mean, somebody's going to pick him up probably, but you're going to have to. The problem with a player like Adrian Peterson, you're going to bring him into training camp, and how are you going to really know if Adrian Peterson still has anything left? Because if you watch an NFL practice, they don't hit the running backs. The running backs don't get tackled. He's not going to play in preseason. So how are you going to really know he still has it? Because you put that film on last year, other than the Bucs film, he didn't look that great. He really didn't. So I'm going to keep my eye open and see what happens with Dez Bryant and Adrian Peterson going forward. I think they both get signed with the team. I don't know how that's going to turn out, though. Other things I'm going to be watching for this year, Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. This is interesting for me because I'm almost positive there's never been a situation where a quarterback won a Super Bowl for a team and then sat on the bench the next year. I can't think of one. It's probably happened, but he didn't lose his job just before the season started. Carson Wentz is their quarterback. I understand that. He's a young kid. He beat Nick Foles out last year. Nick Foles came in, did an unbelievable job, almost looked like the MVP at times. But he won a Super Bowl. So there's got to be Nick Foles fans in that locker room. I bet there's Nick Foles fans as Philadelphia Eagles fans. And what's going to happen if Carson Wentz isn't 100% healthy by the beginning of the season? Because why would the Eagles put him in at 85% when they have a quarterback that they know is almost his equal? And say Carson Wentz misses the first three games of the season and Nick Foles balls out. What's going to happen? That's going to get ugly real quick. Because Nick Foles is not going to be, he doesn't want anybody looking him in the face and saying, you know, sit your ass on the bench when last year you won the best quarterbacks on the planet. He doesn't want to hear that. And Carson Wentz ain't going to sit on the bench. So that's going to be, that could be hairy. I'm going to watch. And like I said, I think a lot of guys in the locker room are going to be on Foles' side and some are going to be on Wentz' side. The press is going to have a lot of fun with that. And what happens if they put Carson Wentz in early and he struggles a little bit? That's going to be like, you know, and you know why, and the reason why Tim Tebow's not in the NFL is because he's not talented enough, okay? We have to know that by now. Although I still hear people say we should sign Tim Tebow. But anyways, the other reason why you don't want to bring Tim Tebow is if he's a backup and your starter struggles, everybody in the fans is going to be chanting Tim Tebow, whether he's good enough or not. So I think that's going to be the situation with Nick Foles, because if Carson Wentz struggles a little bit. And in Philadelphia, they don't give a crap. They're going to let everybody know. So I'm going to watch that and see that unfold. And his Carson Wentz's health in training camp, I think, is going to be important and how many reps he gets. But Nick Foles and his people, I guarantee they're trying to get paid somewhere, somehow. So if you're an Eagle fan, you could have worse problems, by the way, than having two really good quarterbacks. And I don't know if it's a good segue, but everybody heard that Josh Freeman signed with the Montreal Alouettes. I actually had an interview with TSN on Saturday. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a Montreal station. And they asked me about the Buccaneers and a lot of things happening. And, you know, I enlightened them a little bit from the Buccaneers and how everybody was optimistic last year and how this year we're kind of being reserved. And then he said, well, we have Josh Freeman here as a quarterback. You know, tell us a little bit about Josh. And listen, I know too much about Josh Freeman, okay? I know too much. Because, I mean, I'm in the circle. I live in South Tampa. I'm a former Buck. I'm in the media. I hear too much. I've been involved with some stuff with Josh Freeman where he was supposed to call in our radio station and didn't show up to his football camp. And the next day called up on our station and he was blitzed. Don't know on what, but he was blitzed. Like, Ron just looked at me and goes, let him go. And he was just rambling. One time we asked him a question, and he answered 17 questions. It was the craziest thing. He was blitzed. And the Buccaneers knew it. Everybody knew it. I've heard stories of opening day with the Jets. They have to go get him out of his room. They have to go get your starting quarterback out of his room because he missed the first two buses. Those are not equations for success. He's got a lot of off-the-field problems and issues, too, by the way. So I had this interview with him, and I'm telling him, I go, listen, bro, I mean, it's not talent. He's got the talent, but he's just not mature enough. And the interviewer is saying, well, he's really struggling in camp. And I go, I'm not shocked. That's not going to shock me at all. And then the same day he retired, the same day he just said that's enough. So here's where it's going to go spiraling and barreling downhill. Once an athlete doesn't have the drive anymore, then whatever his, you know, his issues are, whatever his vices are, they let loose. And it's going to turn out really bad for Josh Freeman. He's got a lot of vices and a lot of stuff. And I wish the best for him. But I don't see that turning out well at all. It's all mental for Josh Freeman. He can throw that thing. Big, good-looking athlete. Great hair. Just has a lot of off-the-field issues, a lot, and too many to get into, to be honest with you. Now, I tried to get Mark Dominic to be on the show today, and he has to take care of his kids today, but he told me that he would come on the show next week, so hopefully we'll have Mark Dominic next week, and former Buccaneer GM, been around the Bucs for a long time, seen a lot of things. I'm sure he has some great insight in stories of locker room stuff, and going to pick his brain a little bit about, you know, the draft room and some of the stuff that we're not really exposed to. So Mark Dominic hopefully will be on In the Trenches next week. I appreciate you guys listening every week. I love sitting here talking football. I seem to be talking football all the time anyway, so we might as well make it a professional type thing. But this is In the Trenches. We come out here every week talking football. I have another podcast, Flavoring Year, comes out on Friday. I appreciate you guys listening to that as well. You know, this is a fun thing, this podcast thing. You can kind of let loose. You can curse a little bit. You know, your boss won't get on you if you don't say the right thing. Not like that's really happened a whole lot, but this is definitely a lot of fun. And we're going to hope to bring in a couple, like, interesting guests towards this offseason to liven this thing up as well. But there's still a lot of things happening in football. Well, once again, I want to give love to Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. And next week, Blue Chew, chewable male enhancements are going to be on board as well. So everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Personally, I don't think it's the player's right to use the forum of an NFL stadium that they do not own, they just play in, any more than you would have a right to go into your work environment and start to make stances that are political. I think there is a time and place. I get it that they feel like this forum allows them maximum visibility to get their point across. I get it. I understand it. I respect it. And whether I agree with their policies or not, I understand their right to express themselves, but in the right forum. I don't think you do it at a stadium. And I think that if I were going to take their side and I was going to advise a player on making a statement about whatever issue they want, that maybe is controversial. If you do it in this current form, I don't care what your intent is. The reality is that a lot of people are going to take offense to it. They're going to interpret that the way they want.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.